We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is an interesting one. Jacob Kraft, after this weekend's commitments, who will be the most important target remaining on the board? So let's assume, for the sake of Jacob's question, that they get Micah Bell tonight, for argument's sake, Rico Flores on Sunday, and then Christian Gray on Monday. At that point in time, who is the most important remaining recruit on the board? This is, yeah, I'm going to let you guys go first because you're probably not going to like my answer.
I'm not going to say Dante Moore at this point, just because I'm just going to take it off the table for now, because it's just where everything's trending. I'm going to say the most important recruit that's left on the board for me is Jaden Greathouse, in my opinion, because there's two wide receivers in this hypothetical where you're going to get Rico Flores, you're going to get a Braylon James that's already in the class. I am very high on Jaden Greathouse. I think he can come in and he can play a lot early. So he slightly I don't even know what the word I'm trying to say is. He slightly edges out. There we go. I'm losing my mind. Slightly edges out Jason Moore in this conversation. Cool. He would have been my number two, though.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to go Jason Moore. I think he's a game changer at defense, you know, on the defensive line. And I love what he brings. I love his film. I think he is huge on the defensive line. That's who I was going to go with if we're not talking about the other Moore.
He said most important, not favorite. So I'm not going to say Jaden Alsbury. To me, defensively, I think it's Jason Moore. I do. Defensively, I think it's Jason Moore simply because, I mean, football's still a trench game. It is. That's why Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley have zero national titles. It's still a game that's won and lost in the trenches. And to me, he makes this defensive line class elite. I mean, truly, like I think it's kind of already elite. Would anybody want to disagree with that? I mean, with Keon Key, it's already elite. He makes it generational is what I'm trying to say. And then you add in last year's haul, and all of a sudden it's like, well, over a two-year span, I don't know if I'd trade that group with anybody, and it fits in so well together. Offensively, I'm still going Dante Moore. Ryan, I completely understand where you're coming from. But for me, you had this all-in strategy, which you should have had. If you're going to be all-in, you need to be all-in and see it through. And, you know, you kind of have to start looking at other quarterbacks, but I would personally still recruit Dante Moore. And the reason I say that is because he still moves the needle for you. Sure. Big time as a player. And I still feel like, you know, and I know that he's allowed others around him to kind of allow his recruitment to go in a way that has hurt his reputation in some ways, that has allowed a narrative about him. And Ryan, I think you went off on this a little bit the other day, that's allowed a narrative about him as a person to be created that we don't think reflects truly who Dante is. And then ultimately that's up to him. But he's still a kid who's back-to-back 4.0 semester kid, you know, who brags about that. I think he's a really thoughtful kid. I mean, he's still the same kid that we thought he was before. It's just his recruitment hasn't played out that way. I still feel like he is that guy. Because then all of a sudden, now you're saying, okay, like, let's just say hypothetically in 2 weeks, Dante Moore just woke up and was like, man, this is where my heart's always been. I still want to be there. I'm going to commit to Notre Dame. And all of a sudden, you know, we're putting Richard Young back on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're talking about, well, they're not, no one's going to flip so-and-so now. You know, we're talking about like, okay, now you've got CJ Carr and Dante Moore. Hey, Micah Hudson, what's good, buddy? Hey, Ryan Wingo, you know, what the deal is? You know what I mean? Like, let's get this thing going. And I think that's the really important thing. And if you want to try to flip a Cardale Tate during the season or a Tyler Williams or whatever else, you're going to have a, I mean, it's going to be hard to do, but you're going to have a better shot at it if you have Dante and CJ together. That's what I say. CJ is a great player. Love CJ Carr. Absolutely. Dante Moore is a great player. Love Dante Moore. I'd rather have both of them. This isn't the NFL where you draft your one guy and that's just what you roll with. I mean, what if CJ gets hurt? What if he doesn't pan out? What if he just needs more time? Who knows? What if Dante's your guy and you don't get CJ and Dante gets hurt or he doesn't pan out and you need CJ? The argument's for both of them. That's why I say get them both. Get them both. And, you know, if CJ's the kid that we think he is, you know, he sits 2 years and then he takes over for 2 to 3 years and he's a first round pick. So that's just kind of where I'm at, guys, is that's I still feel like it's him. You know, I think there's a very important – I mean, Ronan Hanifin's important. I thought about him. I thought about Jaden Greathouse on offense. But it still, to me, boils down to the quarterback. Still that guy, you know. That's so that's where fair. I'm at.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My wife is the coffee drinker in our house. So when I told her about trying out Trade Coffee, she was curious. When I told her that if she answered the survey Trade sent me, they could match her with brands she would like, she was downright skeptical. We ended up getting 3 different shipments from 3 regional coffee makers. And let me tell you, she was blown away. My coffee snob wife loved each and every new blend that she got. As a non-coffee drinker myself, I must admit, opening up the cabinet and getting a whiff of her most recent blend was aromatically pleasing. Trade sells the freshest roasted and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. They ship free to you and as often as you like, whole or ground. Whether you're a coffee connoisseur like my wife or just want a better daily cup, Trade's real coffee experts taste test over 400 roasts and use technology to match you to your ideal coffee based on your preferences and brewing method. Take the coffee quiz to get started. Trade Coffee guarantees you'll love your first bag or they'll replace it for free. And right now for Irish Breakdown listeners, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of 30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started when taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $30 off. Got a super chat here from Craig Sebring. With the shortage of running backs, With the shortage of running backs, do you bring someone that played running back in high school from the defense to the offense or go transfer portal? Vince, you want to start off with this one?
I don't make any moves right now. I make zero moves. I'm not bringing anybody over. The way this offense is going to run, I think that you spread the ball around anyway. It's not like this is pick a year and pick a power run game. Like, that's not what Notre Dame is going to be doing. And I think that you can be smart about the pitch count of carries that these guys are going to have in training camp. And you just make sure that you are You're going to get a fourth running back back eventually, whether it's the middle of September, beginning of October, whatever the case may be. But Logan Diggs is coming back. So then you're going to have four, which you're fine with. I mean, that you're good to go at four. So I don't think you move anybody, because then you've moved him for what? Now you got to move him back? Like, I think you tread water with where you're at. Now, if you get another season-ending injury, now I think you start to bring in these conversations. But until then, three healthy scholarship backs, you're fine for what they need to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I have so many mixed feelings on it. I think for me, one, I mean, who would that defensive player even be, right? Like, didn't Aceto Ekwonu play running back at some point during his career? Like, who would sure. I just don't know who the running back guy would be on the roster from the defensive perspective. I would always be open to the transfer portal personally. Like, I would rather not move someone on my roster that I didn't really love the move, right? Like, if it's just moving because of need, I don't like doing that. So I'd be open to the transfer portal. I think I'm kind of with Vince for now, though. I think I would kind of just stay where I'm at and just see how the chips fall a little bit. But I think I would always use the transfer portal. And if there's a player that makes sense and he's a good fit, and I think I would always entertain those things. But I would really rather not move a guy on the roster if I don't have to.
Well, and aren't scholarship numbers an issue?
That's where they're I'm tight. At, Vince.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to go to the portal, but you don't have the ability to do that right now.
Right.
Like, and here's the thing you have to understand is – I think there's going to be a scholarship opened up here soon. But the problem is you need two to open up. And I'm not saying that specifically. I'm saying that's how it always happens. There's somebody's going to go on medical, something. I mean, that it always happens. Some walk on is, you know, some that always happens. It's not like, you know, I saw the react. That's not what I'm saying. Like, that always happens. Like, there's somebody that goes on medical. Something happens right before. That's exactly what he did. Oh,
there's a post on the message board now. All right. Ryan, who's Driscoll
said, and they're just like, pick a name. Driscoll said, yeah. You know, there's no supplemental draft. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's not it. Just always happens, right? I mean, that's the point.
You can bring in a transfer and they can actually play. Is there a drop dead date, or is like,
basically it's like, you know, it's you.
I didn't know if
there's a time, and I think it's like I can't remember what it is. If in D3 it was like by the beginning of your first week, you had to have your roster submitted.
Okay,
you know, you had to submit your full roster by whatever. So if a kid joined, I mean, so but the point is, you'd want to have somebody. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it before the football season starts. But right now, the portal's not really an option. I mean, Notre Dame's looked at the portal for receivers and other positions, but they just don't have the room right now.
Right.
And so that's not really an option. And I'm not moving someone for a short-term thing. Look, three right. running backs is enough to get you through half the season.
No doubt.
And you know, then Jadarian Price Logan Diggs comes back. I mean, now if you lose another guy, you're in trouble. But to me, it's an easier transition to move an Avery Davis back there, you know, who has played running back at Notre Dame. I mean, that's – people forget, like, somebody was pointing out, like, whoa, he only had 10 catches for 70-something yards in 2019. I'm like, yeah, he was a running back.
Right.
That's – he had running back numbers as a pass catcher, you know.
It worries me stealing him from the wide receiving core, though.
Right. But I'd rather steal him from the receiving core because you're going to play him, right? This is if you have another injury, Vince. So that's where I'm coming from. It's like if you lose Austin Estime or Tyree,
sure,
and you just got the only other one in Jabron Payne, who's a freshman who hasn't played football in 2 years, you can't just stand pat and say, oh, we're fine. Right. I mean, you have to move somebody. And to me, it's an easier transition to move a guy there, because the problem is you're not going to move Aceto Ekwonu and play him a running back if you want to beat anyone. You know, now you're taking away his chance to maybe compete somewhere else. I mean, if there's a guy that's never played running, you know, that's not going to play, then maybe think about it. But like, to me, who's going to help you win a game more? Avery Davis, a running back, or Aceto Ekwonu, a running back?
Or how about a Chase Ketterer or somebody like that who actually?
Yeah, but again, I don't know if you're going to give the ball to Chase Ketterer, that means you're not giving it to Avery Davis as a pass catcher. I mean, when I say move him to run, you're going to play him, right? And now your offense is going to change. You're going to do more power reads,
right?
As opposed to read zone. Power read meaning, you know, with Tyler Buchner, where you're running an outside zone and your quarterback. So read zone essentially is like an inside run where you either hand off on the inside run or the quarterback pulls and gets outside. A power read is essentially you're blocking power O inside, and you're running a sweep action with the running back. So if the quarterback pulls, and it's now a play side read, more so than a backside read. So if the quarterback pulls, he is the one running vertically in between the tackles. and the running back is the one. And if he gives, the running back's on a jet sweep. So, I mean, there's things you can do with Braden Lindsey in that role.
Right.
I mean, there's things you can do with Avery Davis in that role.
I would rather as opposed to make them actual running back.
But he'd still have to be – I mean, you have to rep that. You have to practice that. I'm not saying you're going to put Avery Davis a running back and run him, you know, 25 times between the tackles. But you have to have somebody there, right? And so, to me, it's easier to cross-train a receiver. I mean, heck, Lorenzo Styles was short yardage running back for his high school team.
Well, here's what I'll say. Cross training is different than moving him to a new position.
But that's what you're doing. I'm not saying I'm moving him to, but you're going to, I'm moving him to running back.
That's what I'm explaining
what I would do. I'm moving him to running back.
So cross training
as a running back. But I am moving him to running back. It's a cross train for me because as a running back, I can still put him in the slot. As a running back, he can still do all the things that he did as a slot. Right. And absolutely. So I can use him in those roles, but he's still a running back. He's got to learn how to pass pro. He's got to learn how to do all those kind of things. Because you can't go into a game with one running back. And we don't know what Jabron Payne is going to be. It's just that right now, I don't think we need to do that if you're Notre Dame because they do have three running backs, and the fourth is going to come back at some point.
Right, exactly.
It would have to – I would need another injury to happen.
Season-ending injury. Like
or a long term. I mean, you can't go five games between the time when Logan Diggs is going to come back and you know, like if you lose a guy for 2 months, you're going to go 5-6 games and you're going to have to play Ohio State and BYU in North Carolina with one or two running backs, and your second running back is Jabron Payne. Again, this is assuming that the next injury is to one of the two vets, not right. Jabron Payne.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so if I lose Jabron Payne, that's a bummer. But I've got between Tyler Buckner's running ability with the jet sweeps, the reverses, all that stuff, I got enough of a package to go win the first 4 or 5 games. It's more of if I just got one of the veteran, you know, when I say veteran Aldrick Estime, one of the returning backs, and then I lose Payne, then I'm not changing anything. If I lose one of them and I got Payne, then I feel like you have to change something. We haven't seen Jabron Payne look like the guy he was for 2 years. I think he's going to be okay, but we have to see it first. Sure. And I just don't know if he's there right now. All right. John A1 asked the question earlier. I'm going to bring this back up because we didn't get to the second part. Offense. Oh. We never got to offense.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think this one should be a little bit easier, don't you think?
Let's go.
I mean, does anyone want to go different at quarterback than Buckner? No.
Are we putting Aldrick Estime on the line? Are we moving?
Vince, come on.
You're going to stay true to your philosophy.
Grow up.
That's almost as dumb as Quinn Jones at four different positions.
Grow up,
Vince. Is anyone going to see anything other than Chris Tyree at running back?
No, I'm not.
We're all going to have Lorenzo Styles as one of the receivers, right? Yep. And is anyone going to say anything other than Michael Mayer at tight end?
Nope.
Okay, so we at least have some of them down. So let's go with the rest. Who are your other two wide receivers? Well, are you going 11 personnel or 12?
Should we put Eli Raritan? He's a rare 147.
That's true. He is. He would have had the third fastest 10-yard split of anyone at the combine last year.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that. So are you guys going 11 personnel or 12? Which one?
I'm going 11 personnel.
Vince?
11.
Okay, so Ryan, you've got Buckner, Tyree, mm-hmm. Mayer, Styles. Yep. Who are your other two wide receivers?
My other two wide receivers would be Deon Colsey and Tobias Merriweather.
Okay. Vince?
Merriweather and Lindsey.
Okay. I can dig that. I think both are good answers. Offensive line, left to right, Ryan?
I'd rather – Oh man, that's where it gets a little.
Okay, let's do this. Let's be true to how offensive line is, and we don't play freshmen.
Sure.
Because honestly, otherwise, I got Billy Shrouth and Emil Wagner in my starting lineup, and we're just talking pure athleticism. And I don't think that's really a smart thing to do.
Yes.
So let's take them out and say returners.
Okay. So I would go. Man, I would really like to get Tosh Baker on the field somehow.
You can.
Easton
likes to move guys around. Go for it.
I'm going to go. That's cheating. Okay. Fine. I'll do it. I'm cheating. Joe Alt. I'm going to go with Andrew Kristofic, Jared Patterson, Blake Fisher, and Tosh Baker.
Okay. So Alt and Tosh at tackle?
Yes.
And then
Fisher Blake, and a guard.
Fisher and Kristofic at guard. Okay. And then Jared Patterson at center. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna do the exact same thing with Fisher, cheater. But I'm gonna keep Patterson at guard,
mm-hmm.
and I will put Zeke at center.
I think the only change that I would make from the current, just what the rotation is going to be anyway, which is Alt, what we expect is Alt, Patterson, Correll, Lug, Fisher. That's what we all expect, right?
Yep. Yes.
I think my only change would, I would either put Kristoffic or Michael Carmody in at right guard.
For Lug.
One of those two for Lug. If we're just talking pure athleticism.
No, right.
Carmody's an interesting one. He's pretty athletic player,
yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be one of those two, Kristoffic or Carmody. I mean, so I think they're actually going to have, of the non-freshmen, some of their better athletes on the field. I think Kristoffic's the only guy that I view as a pretty good athlete that I don't think that may not be in the starting lineup this year, you know, of the returners. And then Carmody won't be, but he's still a bit of a young guy. So, yeah. Let's go next.
Wait, should we do specialists or no?
No, we're not going to.
Moving on? Okay.
We're definitely moving on.
No, Blake. Yep.
Definitely moving on. Okay. Alex Toby, I don't think we got to this one yet. Happy Friday. Do you think having two super conferences will create a more NFL-style NFC-AFC playoff going forward? Yes, and sure, I think that's the goal, which pisses me off. Because, like, you already have an NFL.
Right. Why do you need another?
Right. Because the people that run ESPN in these places are idiots, in my opinion. And they think, well, it works here, so let's do it here. And they're just going to try to replicate that. I think it's going to work. It's going to work early on, but it's going to create major problems because these are the same people that thought that, like, you know, from an NCAA standpoint, but also from a media standpoint, that thought like the transfer portal was going to work and, you know, and all these other stupid things that always fail. You know, football thrives because football is a great sport. The NFL isn't anywhere close to maximizing its potential because I think the guy running it is an idiot. I mean, when it comes to getting the most out of his product, making as big of a fan base as welcoming as big of a fan base as possible and doing things that make the game better. I think football thrives in spite of its leadership. And that's what's happening in college football now too. But I think some of these big money moves, I mean, ESPN is hemorrhaging users and subscribers and all these kind of things. I don't know that their business model is going to exist in 10 years, but they've got these big payouts. Promises. There's so many unknowns to this that I think makes this interesting. And is this
fascinating? I don't have to like it, but it is fascinating.
And this could end up blowing up in their face in 5 to 10 years. You know, because sometimes you can promise money that you think that, well, if we do this deal, yeah, we may pay out money we don't have now, but it's going to pay off because we're going to do this, and those things don't pan out and you still have those debts and, you know, now you're screwed. So I think that's kind of where it's going. But yeah, they're basically trying to make, and you hear it all the time from media people. Well, it works in the NFL. Let's do it. This isn't the freaking NFL.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, it's going to be, and those are some of the things I want to talk about when we dive into this topic a little bit more, to be honest with you. Jay Clampin Investments with a big super chat. Jay, thank you very, 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 very much. Sup, boys? Thoughts on an IB Vegas meetup? Also, with the looming commits, not mentioning a certain QB, what's a realistic finish ranking for the 2025 class, 23rd class, pending we get Jason Moore? IB meetup, there will be some sort of IB meetup. Vince and I are going to probably get out there early. I'll definitely get out there early. We're going to try to do a podcast or two from the Blue Wire Pod studio, so I'm looking forward to that.
I'm out.
What's a realistic finishing ranking? I feel like there's this notion, Ryan, that like, oh, Notre Dame's going to struggle to stay in the top five now. And to me, it's nothing but BK PTSD, man. Like, you know, right now I look at where I project their numbers to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just what the recruits we think they're going to get. So this doesn't include Samuel Mpemba, doesn't include Dante Moore, just the guys we think they're going to, and it didn't include Micah Tees. And it would get them either second, third, or fourth. Every year going back to like 2015 is when I stopped. They'd be no lower than fourth any of those years. In some years, they'd be second. And in one year, they'd have been first. I think 2016, they'd have been first. Their points total would have been first. So I don't, and that doesn't include the potential that, you know, maybe some guys will rise up the rankings. You know, right. Some guys are going to fall. What if some guys rise up? So I just don't get this whole thing. Ryan, would you say it's anything other than what we said the other day? Right now, if I had to put my money down, they're going to have a top three class, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that was going to be my answer, was top three. Because I also think this mindset is, I'm not saying for Jay specifically, but I think that there is a mindset that, like, if they don't get Dante Moore, they're not going to get a quarterback at all. And I don't think that that's necessarily a thing either. Like, there's still a possibility that they can get another pretty highly ranked quarterback in the class. And like you said, I mean, your projection still includes that We feel pretty good about where Jason Moore is with Notre Dame, right? We still feel good about Jaden Osberry and, you know, a couple of the recruits that are recruiting over the next couple of days. So Jaden Greathouse in the future, potentially. I mean, there's a lot of players that are still on the board that we think are extremely realistic. And being maybe not getting Dante Moore does not mean that there's not going to be a quarterback in this class. They still have an opportunity to flip someone or get someone that is still on the board. So I think top three is very likely personally.
We also have to keep in mind that if the Notre Dame offense is what we think it's going to be, that's going to play a big role. If it's not, then maybe it'd be harder to get that quarterback, especially flipping a guy. But if Notre Dame goes out this year and the offense is what we think it's going to be, that's going to make it even easier, you know, and so to flip somebody that you want. So I'm not, they'll get a, like you said, Ryan, they're going to get a quarterback. We don't know who it's going to be and when. And if they don't get a 23 quarterback, it's because down the road, CJ Carr decides to reclassify. And if he reclassifies, now you have a top 100 quarterback, right? I mean, and depending on how his junior season goes, it would make him a five-star quarterback. So they're either going to add someone in the 23 class or CJ is going to reclassify. Right now, I think it's going to be more the 23 quarterback. Would you agree with that, Ryan, based on the intel 100%. That you have and that I have? Yep. If that changes down the road and CJ, because CJ may come out and have like a big jump as junior, be like, you know what, man, like I'm ready. I'm like, I just, man, I'm ready to go. They don't have a quarterback in 23. I'm ready to go. And then you still have a big time quarterback in your 23 class because CJ would then reclassify and they would move him into the 23 class. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they're going to have a quarterback in the 23 class, in my opinion. They may not have a five-star top 10 player in the country quarterback, which I don't think right now they're going to, but they're still going to have a guy that's a pretty good football player that's going to help with the rankings. All right, next question. And Jay, again, thanks for the super chat. Man. Very much. Boom. Jarrett Grace, former Notre Dame linebacker, my man, who's currently, I believe, in medical school. So you talk about the opportunities that Notre Dame presents.
He is. He's in town.
Jarrett says, happy Friday, IB Nation. How do you guys see recruiting battles changing now between Notre Dame and the current Pac-12 teams? Not yet jumping ship, i.e. Oregon, Washington could definitely give players pause. Let's just say Dennis Dodd, who, again, you take what Dennis Dodd says with a grain of salt, but let's assume for argument's sake, because he's also the guy that said Notre Dame wanted Luke Fickell as the head football coach at Notre Dame. We all know how much I love Dennis Dodd. Let's just assume for a second he's not totally talking out of his you-know-what again, and that the Big Ten has given pause to Oregon and Washington for now, which is what he's reporting, that they've told Oregon and Washington, we're not ready to move on you yet. And I think a lot of this is about trying to convince Notre Dame to come. And then there's other teams. It's not just them. They would rather add Duke and North Carolina than Oregon and Washington, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just about Notre Dame. They would much rather have Kansas than Seattle and Washington. I mean, than Washington and Oregon because of what it would do for basketball. That's actually a decent-sized market. That area, because you've got the Kansas City area and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Kansas is actually a one of the better markets in the Big 12. Take the football team out of it. They're really good in other sports, but it's the TV market's the one that matters. That's a lot more important than the Eugene, Oregon market at this point in time. So anyway, that's one that they would like to get into. The Carolinas is obviously, you want to get into that Charlotte, you know, Raleigh, you know, area, that market, which is a growing market. It's not Tobacco huge Road. Now, but it's an ascending market. And then of course it adds prestige to your basketball aspect of your thing, which is more prestige as opposed to the financial. So let's just say hypothetically he's correct. Ryan, what does that do when it comes to Notre Dame being able to recruit against those teams in head-to-head battles?
If they are staying packed, like this assumption is, right, and they're not joining one of these major conferences, these super conferences, then I think that you get a major advantage over, you know, the schools in that region, obviously. But, Jared, I just find it hard to believe that Oregon especially is going to be a team that is just left on the outside looking in. I just think they're going to be a part of one of the major conferences, if that's how it trends, personally. So I think it's an interesting point, but I think it's going to end up being a moot point when it's all said and done, personally.
There's a comment when you're talking about some of the stuff in the Big Ten leaving, and Archer says Penn State won the Big Ten in 2016 and has frequently won 10-plus games prior to 2020. I don't see them leaving. The mistake you're making, Archer, is you keep thinking this has anything to do with football.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with Penn State's had an undefeated season since they joined the Big Ten, correct? Didn't they go undefeated in like 2002? What the? No, that actually is like 94, right? Mm. Where they ended up not winning the title, but they went undefeated. I'm pretty sure that happened when they were in the Big Ten, because I think it was the year that they had that big comeback against Illinois. Sean and I were talking about this recently.
Yeah.
I believe
I think they had a really nice like 12-1 season. It was when with Kerry Michael Collins Robinson. Was there.
No, it's 94. Yeah. They went 12-0 in 1994 as part of the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. They went 11-2 in 96, 10-3. They had an 11-1 season in 05. That was the year that they beat Ohio State with Michael Robinson at quarterback, Ryan. That's what you're referring to. Yeah. It was 05. Yep. They were really good that year, like really good that year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, won the Orange Bowl that year. You said that was the year that they lost to Michigan last second. I think Mario Manningham caught like a little slant route, if I remember correctly. I mean, so even the game they lost that year was a really close game.
That defense was sick, man. They had like Paul Posluszny and Dan Connor. And,
And wasn't Sean Lee part of that linebacking core as well?
He may have been.
But they had Tom Bahali, a defensive end. I mean, they were
a couple years later. They had Navarro Bowman as well. Like
that defense was crazy. Sick.
Yeah,
and they harassed Troy Smith big time. But see, here's the thing: it has nothing to do with that. The reality is, Penn State has lost a lot of its prestige as a national program, and as a sort of because they were an independent for a long time. They could go play Miami. I mean, they didn't play a tough schedule, but they'd pick and choose. They'd play Notre Dame a decent amount. But even in the years they've had the best maybe team on the field, they were never the biggest team in the conference. They were never even in the top three as far as marquee programs in the conference, especially once they went and got Nebraska and early on with Nebraska. So it's not about football. That's the thing. It's not about football. Do you really think that they're bringing UCLA in on to because the football team is going to add any value whatsoever to the Big Ten? No. Do you think it's because they want to add value to the basketball program? No. They want to dominate the LA TV market. That's the reality of it. And it's about branding and prestige. And the reality is Penn State breaking away from the Big Ten, if it was something that would allow them to kind of maybe reestablish themselves as a dominant program. This is what I've always said. I think Penn State would be better off, in my opinion. Again, let's just say I was inherited Elon Musk's finance, you know, fortune, right?
Oh, you don't have that?
No, I don't. When he was 12, you know, I have what he had when he was 12. Let's just say I had that, which means I could kind of do whatever the heck I wanted, right? He's like $200 billion.
It'd be great. I'd be asking for a raise.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would have already hired Brady Quinn to replace you.
had to add a little levity there.
I like your analysis better than Brady Quinn personally, Vince.
Brady Quinn doesn't whine about getting raises. Actually, he would.
Because he's making a lot more money than I am.
In all seriousness, if I was able to kind of go start my own conference and I wanted it to be centered around Notre Dame, like the three prizes for me would be Notre Dame, Penn State, and Miami. Because I would want to start some sort of East Coast league. It would have like, you know, that kind of thing. And I think those programs would bring in, I would pretty much try to raid the ACC. I would bring in Miami, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Pitt, BC, Miami, you know, kind of do something like that. That's what I would go towards. And I would have, you know, that maybe even do something where like we had talked before about like, you know, if I was really going to raid it and I would have moved before the SEC and the Big Ten. I would have gotten Texas, Oklahoma, USC, UCLA to form sort of like our Western part of that new conference, right? Where there's a couple crossover games, but for the most part, those teams are playing out there. I would have – the East Coast would have been Notre Dame, Miami, Florida State, those type of things. I would do something like that if I had the money to do so. And I think Penn State would jump at that chance because they're never going to be considered a pure-blood Big Ten team. They're not. They never have been, and it doesn't matter what they do on the field. And that's the thing. They've had great teams since they joined in, what, 92, 93, right? What was it? 93 was their first year. I mean, like I said, their second year in the Big Ten, they went 12-0, won the Rose Bowl, you know, beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl. They still weren't on the level as Michigan and Notre and Ohio State as far as the prestige of that conference. So it really isn't about that. It's about money. If another conference offered them a chance to match the money the Big Ten makes, but then allow them to build their brand back up, I think they'd jump at the chance. It's just not – we can talk about what we would do if we had Elon Musk's money. But that's not out there right now. That's not a reality. That's not happening, sadly. And, you know, it's a bummer, but that's the reality of where we are right now. Here we go. I love this. This isn't even a real question. He's just being pithy, and I love it. Sean Kane says, why is there a media frenzy around Notre Dame every time other schools switch conferences? I thought they said Notre Dame was irrelevant.
Because they're different, which, man.
They have no leverage. They have no leverage.
He's being sarcastic because he knows.
I know.
Right?
I know.
But the thing is like, what you have to understand is their Notre Dame's irrelevant stuff is them being pissed because Notre Dame's not in their TV market. So they got to try to tear Notre Dame down to make them easier to go buy. That's what it's all about. But that's why they all want Notre Dame, because they know the brand that Notre Dame wields, and it's just all.
I think there's an argument to be made that USC is going to drop Penn State another rung on the Big Ten.
There's no ladder, question,
right?
There's no question.
So Penn State's not getting any favors by this.
No. Another question. I really liked this question. So God, Country, Notre Dame, barbecue, and coffee. Keeps adding new things.
I was going to say, the coffee wasn't on there before. Dropped a couple of rungs on my respect ladder, but that's
okay. Yeah, we've actually fallen off. IB used to be on there, so we've fallen off. We got replaced by coffee.
Coffee?
With the Notre Dame and Ohio State matchup looking so good with Marcus Freeman, how many times would you say Notre Dame plays Ohio State in the next 10 years, including the two scheduled? I think the postseason, the over-under is 4.5. What he's basically saying here is if Notre Dame's the program we think they're going to be and Ohio State's not slowing down, we could kind of like what we've seen with Clemson and Ohio. I mean, Clemson and Ohio State have played each other 4 times in the last 10 years.
Right.
And they've all been in the postseason, once in the Orange Bowl and then 3 times in the playoff. Right. That's where I think he's getting at. I like that over under. I'm trying to think about that one. I'd probably go under.
You're guaranteed the 2, right?
Yeah, right. That's so I'd still probably
go under
2 more times. Is what I would say. I think 2 more times potentially in the next 10 years, I'd go under, but I think the 4.5 is good.
Taking the over.
Basically, it's 3 postseason matches, which again doesn't always have to be.
And it could be in the same season that they play, by the way, too. I mean, they could rematch.
Potentially, it would have to be in the playoff.
Right. No, absolutely. But
we just saw, when does that 4.5 start? Because if we're gonna retroactively, then you have to include the 15 game. By the end of 2023, they will have played 3 times. You know, then you kind of move on, and then, 2005 is no longer in that 10-year window, right?
Right, right. If you're going back to 15, then you've only got until 25 to do it.
The point is, Vince, is that they don't have to they have to play twice. But the point is they've played in the postseason before in the Fiesta Bowl. They played in the Fiesta Bowl 10 years before that. So it's not even just a playoff that they'd have to play in. And especially now with here's what I'm talking about. What's the Rose Bowl's reaction going to be to all this? And you just killed the rivalry between the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Like, so does the Big Ten Pac-12 rivalry go away? So does that open up the Rose Bowl, meaning the Rose Bowl champ isn't tied in there, which means opens up more opportunities for potentially Notre Dame, Ohio State matchups in the postseason?
I mean, USC is going to be the Big Ten version of the
Rose Bowl. Could you imagine that?
Against Oregon
in the Rose Bowl? That'd be so lame. That would suck so bad. We're back to West Coast teams playing each other that no one cares about.
Wonderful. Exactly. Nobody would watch that game. Okay, we're good.
Yeah. Here's another question from God, Country, Notre Dame, Barbecue, and Coffee. I'm going to answer this one, and you guys tell me if you agree or disagree. On a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed do you think Ryan Day is that BK isn't Notre Dame's coach anymore? He was probably licking his chops this time last year with big game BK. I'm going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed is he that Brian Kelly's not there? I'm going to say 1. Because here's the deal. Ryan Day is a competitor. And competitors don't want walkover games. And dominating a crap Notre Dame team that nobody respects doesn't do his team any good. What helps them become a team with a great playoff resume is you wouldn't beat a really good Notre Dame team that people respect. And when you have the thing that has hurt Ohio State too, is that there is no kind of league rival that can be on their level. I mean, they have it's like Michigan fans are acting like they did something good. They finally beat Ohio State like once in a decade, right? And they're acting like they've done something. Penn State's giving them a game, but they don't beat them very often. You know, I mean, it's like their losses like Iowa and Purdue have, combined for more wins over Ohio State than Michigan and Michigan State have the last 5 years. You know what I mean? So, or the same, I think. So to me, I think Notre Dame being good as a head, if I'm a competitive guy, I want Notre Dame to be good because it makes it easier for me to raise my bar with my coaches. Hey guys, we're not worried about Michigan anymore. We're not worried about Penn State anymore. This Notre Dame thing is rolling. They have kind of helped raise our standard. I really believe that to be true. I think if you're a competitor, you don't want your rivals to stink. You don't want a team to be down. I think you want them to be good because it's better for you when you beat them. Like, I don't see what like steamrolling a Michigan team that nobody cares about does for your program. It makes you feel better because you beat a rival. But I think competitors want to beat. It's like I didn't want to beat Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. It kind of took some of the, you know, shine off of it. I want to beat you at your best. And if you don't have the mentality, I just don't think you're a competitor. And I don't think the Ryan Day got to where he got to by being a guy that hopes that the good teams lose their best things or aren't as good or down on his way to a championship. He just doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. I don't see it that way.
Do you think it's a different perspective on the recruiting trail comparative to an on the field fight? You understand what I mean by that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a little bit more there. Yeah. It's like, they may take some guys from us, but I think even then it's like, just, I know some people around the program, and I honestly think there was a little bit of staleness with Ohio State, honestly, because it was just kind of getting easy for them. Right. Like, if it came down to them in Michigan, like, Michigan stopped basically Michigan does very little recruiting in Ohio anymore. I mean, they don't even try against Ohio State, which is, like, totally cowardly. They don't even, like, try against them anymore. Penn State's given them some battles, you know, mm-hmm. I remember talking to somebody at Ohio State one time about 2 years ago, and he said, man, he says, once Harry left, well, you didn't worry about Notre Dame anymore. Like, they weren't going to beat us for anybody. It didn't matter where we were recruiting them. We were going to beat them. We weren't even worried about them. And, like, so that's changed. But I almost feel like there was a sense of, like, maybe you kind of need to worry about them a little bit. Maybe that's going to make your staff kind of up their game. And, you know, so maybe that's it. But I think, Ryan, I think you could say that the disappointment level is a little higher from a recruiting standpoint. Right. But from an on-the-field standpoint, I don't think he's disappointed at all. I think – this is because now you have something to motivate your team. It's like, hey, these guys are going to be really good, especially let's just say for some reason Notre Dame beats Ohio State this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that's something where now you can say, okay, guys, you know, now we got something. We can't just rely on this. We got to really, you know, like, I think sometimes defeat can, you know, or a lack of the success you think you have can be good for you. And we've talked about this with the Georgia game in 2017. The Georgia game in 2017, which Notre Dame lost, had just as big of an impact for Notre Dame as the win over Stanford in 2012 for a good chunk of the season, in my opinion. And so I just think it depends on having, but I just think competitors, man, like Vince, if you're a baseball coach, did you ever want to go in a game and cross your fingers? Well, maybe you did if your team's not that good or something like that, but did you ever go to a game as a coach, a coordinator or a head coach and say, boy, I hope their three best players don't show up today? I don't know. I mean,
depends,
you know,
on the situation, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
Okay. I mean,
seriously.
Does your team suck?
Depends on the inner. It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
You know, if we have a pretty good team and we hadn't won a championship in a really long time, mm-hmm. and one of their kids gets hurt, sorry, we're gonna go win that championship. I completely disagree with you.
That's a little different to me. An injury is a little different than like a guy transfers. Like, and that's how I view this. But anyway,
it's a new head coach.
So share your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a new head coach. I mean, I would not be upset if our biggest rival changed head coaches. Like, that would not upset me. I'd be like, bye. We'll take advantage of the fact that you're not there anymore, and because we're a rival, and that's, you know, that's your problem, not our problem. We're still going to play our game.
I think it's the other way around here, though. It's a guy that sucked left and a guy that's really good is arriving.
But that's only if he viewed Brian Kelly is sucking, which I don't know that that's the case.
The premise of the question, though, is he was probably licking his chops this time last year with big game BK, meaning like he didn't respect BK. And now the premise of the question.
Like, that's what's happening. Okay.
The premise of the question is that now all of a sudden that Notre Dame's a more formidable team now because of Marcus Freeman. That's the premise.
I think he's still disappointed because I don't care what happens. A win over Notre Dame is huge for your program, especially in week one. And because how does the national media look at Notre Dame? If they lose, that is a great win for whoever beat Notre Dame. But if Notre Dame goes out and wins, it's like a fluke. It was an accident. It was whatever. the national media will take that win from Ohio State and they will look at that as the biggest win on their schedule, no matter who the coach is, frankly. And Ryan Day will be the guy who beat Notre Dame. So I think he wants to win because he wants to win a national. He doesn't have a national championship. Am I wrong? Mm-hmm. I mean,
no.
Go get that national title and then worry about other stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't care how easy the road is. You know, we talked about Notre Dame winning a national title last year because the road got a little bit easier for them because there were other teams that were down. I'd still celebrate pretty hard that national championship if Notre Dame went out and won it last year. This I don't think that like changes it for me.
Yeah. doesn't like it. Ryan is trying to start stuff today, Vince. He is absolutely trying to start stuff today. I did want to read a question that's not on the board right now. We got someone who couldn't be on this chat sent some money to Irish Breakdown through PayPal to get into question asked.
Okay.
And so here's the question. It says, if healthy, who gets more touches this year, Chris Tyree or Audric Estime? So if they're both healthy for the same part of the season, who gets more touches, Chris Tyree or Audric Estime?
Do special teams count?
No.
Chris Tyree for me, because I think that I actually like Estime in the passing
game. He said touches. He didn't say carries. He said
right. Touches. Oh, and that makes a big difference because touches means receptions and you know.
I actually like Estime as a receiver. I think he actually has some kind of natural feel in that passing game when I saw him in person. But I think Tyree is a more designated weapon in the passing game. So if they're both healthy, I think that I think even if Estime has more carries, that Tyree will have more touches just because I think he'll be more of a he'll be more of a emphasis in the passing game.
And we're talking about the entirety of the season too, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Tyree's touches will change when Logan Diggs comes back. I think Estime's go down a little bit. I think they're going to have to split some of those carries. So I will say Tyree on this one.
Yeah, I think it's close. I think it'll be close. Simply because I think Tyree is going to have a much higher yards per carry average, which, you know, is going to, you know, where it's going to take Estime 12 carries to get to 70 yards. There's going to be games where it takes Tyree 8. You know what I mean? But I think when you throw touches, well, let me ask you this question, guys. If it was just carries, is your answer the same?
It's Estime.
I think mine's Estime as well.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And is it because you think Estime is going to be the lead back, or because of like we talked about, Tyree is going to have a higher yards per carry type of thing?
It just depends on what your definition of lead back is. I think he's going to get the most carries. I think Tyree starts the game, and I think I just think that when Estime's in the game, he's just going to get more straight carries than Tyree would. I still think Tyree is going to be the starter.
So let me ask you this. Is this what you guys are saying? That you guys think the offense will be built around Tyree more as an entirety, but Estime will be featured from just a volume standpoint a little bit more in the run game specifically? Because you both said that it's Tyree in total touches. So it tells me Tyree's a big part of the offense. It's just you're going to get him the ball in different ways, whereas Estime's just pure run.
Correct. That's a great way to explain it. I completely agree with that.
Okay. And to answer your question directly to Vince, Brian, I would say also it's – for me, I think it's a little of both because I think that Tyree's just style screams less carries, right? Because like you said, it's going to take him less touches to get to a certain number in the run game.
Right.
But I think Estime, I also just think Estime is going to be a stud, if we're being completely honest. So,
real quick too, Vince, I don't know if you're in the basement. I don't know if you have a window outside. I do not. It's getting really ugly. So
is it really?
Yes. And we're on sort of a similar power grid. So if Vince and I disappear, Ryan, it's weather related, just kind of take over or answer question.
I was getting lightning alerts on my phone.
I think we'll be okay, but I'm just kind of throwing that warning with some of the issues we've had here. If I go away suddenly, I'm probably out. Just assume
I'm going to bring a guest in. John A1, maybe Brandon.
Go for it.
Throw somebody to go for it.
Send him a link.
Go for it. Yeah, very, 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 very. Go for it, guys. Let's get to some more questions here. Here's a good one, Ryan. I don't know if you'll have an opinion on this. And again, I'm not sure where you were age wise at this point in time. Vince, I'm curious to get your opinion for sure. So let's go with Vince first, and then Ryan, if you have an opinion on this, please feel free to chime in. Sean Kane says, if George O'Leary was allowed to remain at Notre Dame, do you think he would have been successful, and would his reign have been closer to Holt's, Weiss, or Kelly in terms of success.
So if I'm not mistaken, when all this went down, I was in college. Mm-hmm. So
it was, he would have basically taken over when Ty took over.
Right, which is like 2002. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was finishing up college at the time. So I was a little, you know, away from the program, you know, doing college stuff. But I was actually pretty happy with the hire when it went down. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was a good fit when he was brought in. I thought that he was going to do a good job. I would say I'm not going to project that he would have won a national championship. So I can't say he would be like Holtz, right? He completely different personality wise than Charlie Weiss, but mm-hmm. from a wins loss standpoint, he could have been in the neighborhood of Charlie Weiss for sure. I think he understood Notre Dame. I think it was a good fit. I like what he was bringing to the table. So I think he would have had success. I don't know that he has national championship success because we just haven't seen it in so long, but I was happy with the hire at the time.
I know that the George O'Leary that I remember, and I was just looking it up, and he was at Georgia Tech before that. Correct. I remember the UCF version, mm-hmm. and I thought O'Leary was a good coach. I'd say, to Vince's point, though, I don't know if I would project quite that high. I would probably say closer to a Brian Kelly type of success if we're talking about a win-loss record.
I think he would have been in between Brian Kelly and the best of Bob Davey. So, okay. like, those teams that were like 9-3 for Davey and some of the good, really good Kelly teams. Like, I think George O'Leary would have been consistently 9-3 and had some 10-2s. And then every 5 or 6 years, you'd have a 2012 season mixed in. Like, that's sure. how I look. I don't think George O'Leary would have gone on the run that we saw the last 5 years back then. And cause he was a good hire. And, you know, the success he had at Georgia Tech, if you think, I mean, it was pretty decent, you know, but it mm-hmm. wasn't great. He had that one, he had Joe Hamilton, had a really good team with Joe Hamilton, you know, but it, I mean, they were, when he took over, they were like 5 years removed from winning, being a co-national champion. So it's not like they were some bum program that had no history. Right. He was a good coach. I think his style would have fit better at Notre Dame. I think he would have been better at Notre Dame than he was at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Because here was his record at Georgia Tech, 6-5, 5-6, 7-5, 10-2, 8-4, 9-3, 7-5. Right, that's good, but I think mm-hmm. his style, his personality, his name was O'Leary. I think he would have recruited. He would have had better players. Notre Dame as an institution would have fit what he liked to do better. I think he would have been like a 9-3, occasionally 8-4, occasionally 10-2, and then every sure. 5 or 6 years, that team that's like that's 12-0 and
makes overachieves, yeah,
BCS game and then loses.
Yeah, right. right?
You know,
right.
more often than not. Now right. they wouldn't have gotten dominated the way some of those other teams did, but you know, like, he wouldn't have recruited the way Charlie did. Like here would have been great is if Charlie could have recruited a team for George O'Leary. Like if Charlie was his George O'Leary's offensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator and O'Leary was still the head coach, that'd have been some really good freaking teams right there, man. Cause I don't think he would have recruited the dynamic players that Charlie did, but he was such a better coach than Charlie was. Cause they'd have been fundamentally sound. They'd have been tough and all that.
Right.
But, and he definitely would have been better than Ty. And you know,
He did a tremendous job at UCF, man. He was weren't they winless his first year or something like that? Like they were a bad team.
0-11.
Were they not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went 0-11 and the next year went 8-5, 4-8, 10-4, 4-8, 8-5, 11-3, 5-7. And then his last 3 years, it was really weird. They went 10-4, 12-1, 9-4, and then went 0-8 the next year and he got fired.
Yeah.
It's like he came off of a 3 year stretch where he went 10-4, 12-1, 9-4, and then they fired in the first down year.
It was like that was with Blake Bortles. That was the mm-hmm. era of Blake Bortles.
Yep. Yeah. So it's very, very strange. 2013 was the Bortles year, right? The year they went 12-1 and then won the Fiesta Bowl. So 2 years after he led Central freaking Florida to a Fiesta Bowl victory, he got fired. Beat Baylor by 10. And he got fired. Like, these schools are so stupid. Like, I really just, you know, whatever. It's ridiculous. Let's get to the next question here. We kind of address this a little bit. Give you guys a chance to respond to this. I already gave my piece on it. But John Wayne's Winchester, which, by the way, flipping great name, by the way. John Wayne's Winchester, with all the discussion around conference realignment and whatnot, what impact would Notre Dame winning the dang thing this year have on the state of college football, if any?
Be huge. They would have all the power. I mean, not all the power. All the they leverage. Would have a lot of power.
Well, let me hold on. Let me ask. Let me make sure how does it impact? Does that mean it impacts Notre Dame, or does that impact college
Notre Dame. More it allows them to Notre stay Dame independent more. For as long as yeah. they need to be.
None of us think it impacts college football much, other than it's a much greater opportunity that Notre Dame stays independent, but it doesn't slow down the
realignment mega conferences at all,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, I don't think it affects college football that much. I just think it gives Notre Dame even more leverage to remain independent if they want to choose to stay independent. Like, it's just more power. It's like a power move, in my opinion.
It just gives them more leverage in the all of these, you know, debates and all of these negotiations and all of that. And again, the college football playoff isn't preventing Notre Dame from entering the college football playoff if they just won a national championship. They're not going to do that. So it gives them leverage.
Agree. There we go. Rob Thidoff, Brian, Vince, and Ryan. I would not trust any of these three if they told me the time, but who do you trust the most?
Oh, I thought you were talking about us. No, dang, man. That's rough.
That's how I read it too, because I don't go to the end. I just start reading it. I was like, man. Dang. Like, Rob, harsh. I thought we were cool, man. Like, you've been on this chat. Like, you're one of the OGs on this chat, man. Like, what do we do, buddy? Wow. Brian, Vince, and Ryan, period. Now he's on to a separate thought. He's prefacing the question with a thought. I don't trust any of these three if they told me at the time, but who would you trust the most? Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, or Brian Kelly?
Jim Harbaugh, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. He's not bright enough to tell you a lie. I don't.
It's not out in the open. Like, everybody knew he was interviewing for jobs. Right. But
that's Urban the thing. Meyer's he's a liar. Part of the thing that hurt him is he was honest.
Right.
He told recruits, I'm if I get this job, I want to go to the NFL. I mean, he was honest about it. Right. I don't view Jim Harbaugh as a liar. No. I just don't think he's done a good job. And I think there's something. I'm not saying this is honestly not a shot at Michigan or being flippant, or I truly believe there's something wrong there. Like, I think, I don't know if it's CTE. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be flippant here. I'm not trying to take a crack at Michigan. Like, I look at him now and look at him when he was at Stanford. That's not the same guy. Like, in just in every way, like, he'll get these like really distant, often space looks, and you're just like,
it just doesn't look like
he is right now.
It just doesn't look like all the Pistons are firing. That's
right. Like, and I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. No. I'm genuinely, there's a concern level there. I'm really not saying that to be snarky, or I wouldn't joke about that, no matter how much I dislike someone, as a flippant joke. I'm being serious. I do think there's something there that's just not the same guy. And some of the stuff he does is like really weird. And I don't remember that being something we heard about when he was with Stanford.
Like spending the night with a kicker.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope that's not the case. But it's just a concern I have.
Can we all agree that Urban Meyer is the least trustworthy?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yes.
Landslide. Absolutely. Like, it's not even close.
I would let Brian Kelly babysit Vince's kids before I would let, and I would never do that with
Urban 100%.
Meyer. You know, because I'd at least trust Kelly to go hire someone responsible to come watch.
I know exactly who he would hire, too. So that would work out pretty well.
Right. But, so,
my kids are resilient. I need a night out. Yeah. So
it's Harbaugh. It's Harbaugh, then Kelly. And then, I mean, Meyer's not even on the list.
No.
There's literally, if he told me what time it was and I looked at my watch, I'd think maybe he did something to my watch. Like that's how much I trust Urban Meyer. That guy's, boy. I'll answer this one quickly. David Lowe has asked this, I think, a couple times this week. I said, what's the latest with Dante? Look, as of right now, a lot of the news is that he's going to Oregon. That's what everybody says. Deep down, I have a little skepticism about that, because like, Dante's held everything so close to the vest for so long, and now he's just telling everyone that he's going to Oregon. It just doesn't add up to me.
Right.
I do know that Notre Dame is still recruiting him, but right now it just doesn't look like that's going to be the move. They haven't given up on it, and like I said, I'll have a lot more to say on this after a decision is made, but right now it's not trending in Notre Dame's direction, in my opinion. But I also don't think it's a done deal. Three, 4 days ago, all the intel I was getting is it was a done deal. But something, and it may be, but just there's just something that this just doesn't add up for me, Ryan, with how all this is like, this kid never let anything out, and now all of a sudden everybody knows where he's going.
Right.
It just, I don't know, man.
It doesn't track. I get that.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem. Well, but I could be wrong. Could be wrong. Let's see here. Joe Southern, give me independence or give me death. Joe, I am with you. Archer 452, Brady Quinn talked with Josh Pate yesterday and seemed generally positive about Notre Dame joining the Big Ten. I know that is not the vibe here. Who does Brady Quinn work for? Fox Sports, correct?
And CBS.
Who is Fox Sports' biggest what's their biggest brand right now?
The Big Ten.
Okay.
I like this game. Keep going.
Kish Square.
I like this game.
Yeah. Kish Square. Notre Dame would be risking a lot to join the ACC and assume that none of these big schools jump ship anyway. Kish, I would agree with you if they just blindly jumped in. I mean, if they just blindly said, oh, we're going to jump in the ACC and save it. Okay, what do we got to do? That would be dumb. That's not how these business decisions work. The only way that they would sign with the ACC permanently is if there were some guarantees from the conference.
There's an out clause that if they needed to leave and all that.
And it would be if so-and-so leaves.
Right.
If any teams leave, we are out. And, you know, so Notre Dame would protect itself, but Notre Dame 100%. Would have a pretty good idea that those teams were going to be committed. That would have to be. And again, when we talk about this, that's all part of the negotiation, right? And that's part of the move the ACC has made is you go to the teams you're concerned about. Go to Georgia Tech, go to Duke, go to North Carolina, go to Florida State, go to Clemson or whoever and say, listen, just give us a year to figure this out, right? You know, and just please, you know, for everything we've been through together, right. Just give us a year. And if we don't have it all figured out in the next year, then we'll understand and we can discuss buyouts. I mean, you have to do something like that, but that would include, hey, here's our pitch. Here's what we're trying to do. We want to get Notre Dame. And if we get Notre Dame, we think that can also mean we can go do this or go do that or what, you know, whatever. Maybe there's a Penn State buyout or something like that. And they can create a North and a South division, you know, put Penn State, Notre Dame and BC and Pitt, Louisville, all them in the North and, you know, create something. I mean, then, you know, you get a couple pretty big markets there. Maybe that could be the case, but that would be something that Notre Dame would negotiate before jumping in. They would have some guarantees that those teams are going to stay. And then they would, like you said, Vince, you nailed it. They would have out clauses. It'd be absolute requirement to have an out clause. If a team leaves,
right.
Any team leaves from this conference, we're out. And that's exactly what Notre Dame would do. There's no question about it.
No.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Got a super chat from Michael S. It says, doesn't this Big Ten change put Oregon on the sideline and maybe makes it less attractive for Dante Moore and gets Notre Dame back in play?
We talked about that a little bit.
And I'll say this, though. I don't think it gets Notre Dame back in play, though. I think everything I said earlier was about whether or not Dante would commit to Oregon. Notre Dame did not get beat by Oregon in this recruitment because
of the conference
everything stayed
in.
The same. Yeah. No, because everything stayed the same. Something changed, and a lot of it we can't get into right now.
Sure, okay.
This wasn't about Notre Dame did everything right, and Dante just likes Oregon more. That's not what happened, and I can't go anywhere beyond that. But that's the thing is, so this Oregon thing would mean that LSU and A&M have a better shot. There's other things going on that Notre Dame would have to. I can't say a lot more, but it's not about that Oregon out-recruited Notre Dame and Notre Dame did everything right and he just likes Oregon more. That's not the case. That's not the case. And again, I can't go beyond. Ryan's like, oh, don't do it. He's going to slip. He's going to say, I just see your face. You're like, you're waiting for me to screw it up.
And I just like watching that. I like watching you dance that line.
Thanks
baby.
A lot, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks. All those nice things I said about you to Sean Styers in our business meeting today at lunch.
Oh, brutal.
I take all of it back. I take all of it back. NW Junior Super Chat. Thank you very, very much for that.
Yeah, thanks.
My solution, Notre Dame starts their own conference. 20 teams.
Love
Notre
it.
Dame, Penn State, Clemson, Pitt, Miami, Florida State, Stanford, Cal, Syracuse, Wake Forest, Boston College, UNC, NC State, Duke, a Texas school. I think in this instance, I think Baylor would make a lot of sense because Baylor is considered a pretty good school, right? Academically, aren't
academically,
they? Don't they have a good reputation? And they are a school that's based on a religious foundation, a Baptist school.
Yeah.
Navy, Arizona, Arizona State, Louisville, Virginia. Thoughts? I would probably nitpick some of the teams in there, but sure. Overall, I'm down with it.
I think you know what? I know you've talked about this before, Brian, but I just think it would take some brass ones for Notre Dame to be like, you know what? We're making our own conference. And then they would end up, who's coming with me? And then they just put it together and they just mic drop all these, the right. Big Ten and the
SEC. Fantastic.
That would be awesome.
The Notre Dame League.
That would be awesome. I would love every second of that. That would be great. That would be such a ballsy move.
Yeah,
it would.
Yeah. It would have to include them doing something with a network that currently isn't in the game but wants to get in the game.
Yeah, you're gonna have to have all the pieces together.
Right. It have to be like CBS decides, you know what, we want a piece of this pie.
Yes.
And NBC's hopeless. They are so poor, they're just a joke.
Completely agree.
It would have to be CBS kind of saying, you know what? Because didn't CBS lose? Does CBS still have NFL? They still have NFL, don't
they?
Or
do.
Is it it's no, Fox and
yeah, they have NFL.
They'd have to say, you know what, we want a piece of this college football pie.
Right.
Because what do they have right now? The Navy Army game.
Yeah,
a couple AAC games, right? Like they're completely out since they lost the SEC,
right?
And they were not willing to get into that bidding market. It'd have to be something like CBS kind of does a 180 on whether or not someone wants to be a part of college football, and then Notre Dame can jump and be like, hey, you know what? If you're willing to invest in this, here's.
And I want it to all be hush hush, and then just one day they just drop it. Like all these teams are coming with us. Here's our TV contract. Eat it. And that would be great.
Right.
And then Marcus Freeman can announce it kind of similarly the way he did the green jerseys, like reading all the mean tweets. And they'd be like, hey, why don't we just start our own conference?
Yeah.
Let's go.
that was so great, by the way.
That was awesome.
Hey, Jack, why don't we start our own conference?
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
So when they do that, I'm taking full credit.
Yep. All right, let's get down here. That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be so much fun. All right, we got another one from Mark One with another super chat. Thank you very much, Mark. Helmets, they should go back to the tradition, students helping to paint them on Friday. What's your thoughts? They'd have to get rid of the way the helmets shine right now, correct?
Yes, they would. And it's just not the way helmets are built these days, unfortunately. It's just
they don't really do the paint thing anymore.
The technology is one that they don't paint them. They do other stuff to get the color on there. And unfortunately, technology has advanced beyond spray paint.
That's unfortunate.
I love the tradition, frankly. I thought that tradition was so cool. And to see like the gold flex coming off after a hard hit, like that was awesome. It's just that's not reality anymore.
I think maybe do something like where they polish them or something like that. That might be cool. But yeah, it's just, I mean, and that's a cool tradition, but at the same time, you don't force something like that on technology that just is so far behind.
Right.
Yeah. That's just kind of I get what you're saying, but yeah, I'm with you, Vince. That was cool, but it's like, okay. It's like saying we're going to keep a grass field, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Stoic Behavior with a super chat. Thank you very much for that. Talking about running backs, looking back, Brian, what would this offense have been like with Elijah Hood? Do you have any knowledge of why he decommitted from Notre Dame? I don't really remember that one a ton, to be completely honest with you. I don't remember what caused him to back off. I'm trying to remember when Elijah Hood was. I'm trying to remember what year it was, but 2014. Yeah, that was kind of like when that whole thing happened, I was still – he was a 2014 kid, which meant his recruitment was happening in 12 and 13. Those are the 2 years I got back into coaching. It was just harder for me to stay locked into the day-to-day of what was going on. So I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't remember exactly what it was that caused that problem. I don't want to guess.
Their running back, though.
Yeah. There's a lot of rumors and all that stuff. I don't want to spread rumors that I heard because I don't know it for a fact, and I never heard it from like good sources, like just message board chatter. But, yeah. And he's a good back. You know, he'd have been there 14, 15, 16, and 17. You know, he'd have been a senior on that 17 team running behind, you know, that 17-0 line.
Pretty darn good offensive line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got some weird questions in here that I think are fun.
I love those.
Poet Mind asks, yeah, I put my Brian, what is your favorite Taco Bell item?
I got
I get a cheesy gordita crunch without the sauce. I don't like the spicy ranch sauce, so I get it without the sauce. But yeah, cheesy gordita crunch is probably my my favorite one from there.
I'm the biggest bang for the buck. So I get those boxes. Those boxes are the best deal that Taco Bell has come out with in a long time.
My wife does those. But are those ones you have to do to get the deal? You have to do it on your phone, your app, or something like that?
They have other combos. But yeah, I do the one on my phone because it's only $5.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I went there to try to order it for Ange, and they're like, it's going to be this. And I was like, hold on a second. I thought it was going to be like $5. They're like, well, no, you only get the special if you order it on your app.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, cancel that order. And I pulled over because it was like, $16, $17 for items that would end up that were five on the deal. And I was like, I'm going to go ahead. And
that's why the deal is it's such a good deal, you know, because you get a drink, you get a dessert, you get two. I'm all about it.
Right.
Ryan, I don't want to answer this because I'm going to get kicked out of the.
He doesn't eat Taco
Bell. So if you don't like Taco Bell, that's fine. I don't care.
I don't like Taco Bell. I'm a little bit of a snob with Mexican food, if we're being honest.
It's all good. Hey. Well, but see, here's the thing. Isn't your like heritage Southern, like South, like Florida, like South Florida? Isn't your dad from South Florida?
Oh, well, he was born in Florida, but yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a little bit of that, you know, got a little bit of that spiciness is a little bit part of it. Yeah.
He only lived there for like a few months. So
My wife used to be that way when we first got married. She would not eat Taco Bell because she grew up in San Diego. I mean, she ate like real Mexican food. Like, you know, and, she was like that for a while, but she eventually, when you live in the Midwest long enough and you realize I'm not really going to get good Mexican food, you know, although that salsa is by our house.
Okay, their
service sucks, but the food
is pretty good.
Usually pretty good. But yeah, cheesy gordita. I'm not going to kick you out for not liking Taco Bell, right? There's others I might be like, all right, we need to have a talk.
Some people are very... Yeah. No. Uppity about their Taco Bell, you know.
No, I
go wherever the deals are and get me a quick meal.
If you were to like say Chick-fil-A sandwiches suck, I might be like, all right, man, come on, I got to think here.
That's bad. That would be a bad take.
I can definitely see why people don't like Taco, and I don't love Taco Bell. And that's the only reason I get the cheesy gordita crunch is because the tacos, just plain tacos, suck now. Like, I don't know the last time I got like a taco where like it didn't fall apart when you try it, and it's like soggy, it just gets gross. The quality of Taco Bell's food has gone way down the last 10
years. It has, and they took a bunch of the good stuff off the menu, too. And if you want a hard shell taco, you can't take it home because by the time you get it home,
they don't have hard shell tacos anymore.
It's a 5-minute drive. Yeah. It's soggy as all get out. You have to eat it like, okay, you got it. And then you start to eat it right away. You
know? It's gross. It's gross. Yeah, that's why I said the cheesy gordita crunch. The only thing I get there is the cheesy gordita crunch, and I get the nachos and chips. That's it. That's the only thing. Just literally chips and nacho cheese. That's all it is. All right, here we go. We're going to have to wind down here pretty soon. We did get a super chat from Al Boggs. Thank you for that, Al. AJ Boggs, AJ Boggs.
Thanks, AJ.
Brian, are Notre Dame players aware of how much disrespect and hatred Ohio State has for them? If they are unaware, can you please use your sources to send this message to them?
Ohio State graduate as their head coach.
And another Ohio State guy on staff on defense. I don't think hatred is going to be the angle that they take on
this. No, game. I don't think so either.
But the disrespect part, the first part of what AJ said, I think is there. Then I think Notre Dame players, and I have this on pretty good authority, I do think they view themselves as disrespected. I do. I think they view themselves as just not a team that, like, you know, it's like as individual players, there's individual players that like will read the preseason magazines and be like, why am I not on here? Or why am I not getting talked about in this draft thing? And why am I not getting this? And why am I not getting that? And, you know, I think that's there. I think that they do view themselves as disrespected by Ohio State and others. But, you know, at the end of the day, that stuff is cool for summer workouts. But I said this before, fellas, like, that's all emotional stuff.
Right.
And as I said a week or two ago, emotion is out the window the first time you get hit in the mouth. It's about your preparation. It's about your execution, your technique. It's about your game plan. It's about your ability to execute that game plan. And the emotion comes out of it, right? I mean, Notre Dame was fired up about Miami and the whole halftime, you know, the pregame speech. But at the end of the day, once the thing became live, it was about the toughness, the physicality, the technique, the execution of the game plan. It was about that. They didn't beat Miami because Lou Holtz said, save Jimmy Johnson's ass for me. Right. That set off a it's not like they were sitting in the locker room like, oh, I don't know if we can win this game. And then he says that and they're like, oh, yes, we can win this game. No, they already thought they could. And that was the thing that finally sent them out there and fired up. But the emotion part goes down once the ball is kicked off. I'm just telling you, I mean, that's how football is, man. It's like once if you're a middle linebacker, first time that right guard is throwing 30 pounds, hit you in the mouth. It's like, I don't care about the disrespect. I care about what do I need to do to beat this guy on the next play. And that's what it comes down to. And so I think emotion in football is important, but it's the emotion that, and it's more of a passion for playing and executing and dominating as opposed to the disrespect. Now, some guys are good at turning that disrespect into that kind of passion.
Right.
But I don't think team-wide it's a big thing. If you don't have it in you already, Vince, the first time you get hit in the mouth, it's out the window.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the reality of it. It's gone.
I agree with that.
It's gone. Another one here from Domer Grizz. Happy Friday. If we get Braylon James, Jaden Greathouse, Ronan Hanifin, Rico Flores, and Mike Atiz to go with Merriweather from 22, what is your two deep at W, X, and Z from that group? I'm going to take Mike Atiz out of that one.
Yep.
So, because I don't see them getting him. And I don't think they're going to push for a fifth receiver in that class. I think this is what we talked about the other day, Ryan. If they get teased, great, they'll go to five. But they're not going to force five onto it. I think at that point in time, if you're going to get five, you're going to try to flip a Tyler Williams, a Cardinal Tate, or something like that. You're not going to take Christian Hamilton. At the end of the day, I think they realized, like, them taking Christian Hamilton wasn't because they thought they were going to get Mike Atiz. It was more of a, we can use this to help convince Mike Atiz, but it was more about where they felt they were with Jaden Greathouse, Ronan Hanifin, and Rico Flores.
Sure.
It was more about that. And he wasn't good enough to be a fifth. He was more of, we like him as a fourth in some other areas. So, that's that. So Ryan,
yes,
the question,
yes,
what is your alignment? Because it's not technically too deep. There's only five guys. What is your alignment? What's your rotation? Who's your starters and what's your rotation with the 2023 receiver class of Braylon James, Jaden Greathouse, Ronan Hanifin, and Rico Flores with Tobias Merriweather from the 2022 class?
It's so difficult to. It's really difficult, but I'm gonna go. Braylon James at W. I'm going to go Tobias Merriweather at X. Jaden Greathouse at Z in the slots. I'm going to go Hanifin also at W behind Braylon James. And Rico Flores is kind of my XZ move guy, right? Like he can play a little bit in the slot and he can also play to the field. I think that's what I would go with.
So you had your W was
James and Hanifin.
Okay.
And then my X was great. My X was Tobias. Merriweather. And then my Z was Greathouse. And then I had Flores kind of splitting between the X and the Z.
Vince, do you have anything different?
I don't have anything to add because I have not studied these guys. So I don't want to put anything out there. You know what I mean?
For me, I would have Tobias at X. I'd have Braylon at W. I'd have Ronan Hanifin at Z. And I'd have Rico and Jaden coming in as a rotation. Reason why is I think Rico, to me, Jaden is the guy that can do the most at all three spots. And so he would be he'd be the guy that he'd probably get as much reps as the other three, except maybe Tobias early on. But it would come in a different form. And I feel like putting him at this the W or just the Z would limit my ability to move him more. I think it may be a little bit harder. Whereas I would want those other guys, you know, to me, Ronan is a Z and an X early on, maybe can play some W. I consider moving Braylon and Ronan at times a little bit, but that would be mine. It would be Tobias at Z or X, Ronan at Z and Braylon James at W would be mine. And then, like I said, Rico would rotate at both my field spots and then Jaden would play everywhere. I'd play him everywhere. And he'd get a ton of reps. It just would be a little bit of a different way of getting to those reps. That would be how I would go it. So, but I think the thing is, Ryan, there's a lot of different combos you can come up with.
Right.
And the reality is that they all kind of work. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, that's what it says a lot about this group, because you and I have a very different opinion on Jaden Greathouse, but neither of us think that he's not really good.
Right.
It's just the degree to which we think he's really good. You know, like we may have a difference of opinion on Ronan Hanifin, but we both think he's really good. It's just the degree and where he falls into this group. And I think that's what makes this class potentially so good.
Agree.
Is that if Rico Flores ends up being your fourth best receiver in a class, you've got a really good receiving class. Really good. And Ronan will be the low, if he commits to Notre Dame, he'll be the lowest ranked, which is kind of hilarious to me.
For now.
Yeah. It's very, very hilarious to me. All right. Let's see here. Got a super chat from Mark. Vegas has great Mexican food. You guys will have to try it. BYU game. Try it at the BYU game. I can let you know. Yeah, I always take recommendations for
food. I'm open to just about anything that weekend, let me tell you.
But have either of you guys been to Vegas before?
My 21st birthday, I went with my dad. That was it.
Okay.
So it's been a little bit.
I don't even remember what I did on my
21st. It'll be almost exactly 20 years.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Ryan, how about you? Ever been to Vegas?
Have not. Nope.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I've been once for my sister's wedding, and it was the weekend that Notre Dame played Army in 2006. I always remember that because I was sitting at, I was getting a drink, and I was in one of the casinos. I was getting a drink, and I remember watching the game at the bar. So it was.
You didn't get roofied, did you? End up on the roof? No.
Okay, good. No. This is no. Did you guys see that question on the message board? Yes.
What?
Did you see that?
No. Oh, about the,
the Hangover movie? Yes, like, who they be?
I haven't seen that movie in a really long time.
I would be the whole thing.
I would be
Bradley Cooper.
That's no, you would not. See, that's a fireable offense right there.
And they said I was going to be the guy walking around with the baby attached to him, which I thought was appropriate.
Who played that character?
I don't even know, but it was appropriate.
I don't remember all the names.
Was that the guy from The Office, or was it Zach Galifianakis or whatever?
No, Zach Galifianakis was the future brother-in-law of the groom.
So was Ed Helms the guy that played the dude that had the baby attached? Is that who that was?
No, I don't think so.
Who was the other character? Who's the other? It was Bradley Cooper, Zach Galifianakis, right? Ed Helms. Mm-hmm. And then whoever was the guy that was stuck on the roof the whole time.
Yes.
He was the groom, right?
Yeah, he was the groom. The roof.
Yeah.
They lost him on right before his wedding. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've never seen that whole
movie.
To be honest with you. Never seen the whole movie.
You go watch it tonight.
So Zach Galifianakis had the baby attached. That's what the guys are telling me.
Okay.
Oh, is that who had the baby? You're
chat,
right.
That's what they're saying.
So it was a random baby, and they didn't know where he came from. You're right.
Yeah, so would that be you, Vince?
Yeah, apparently. That's my life, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. God, there's no more babies.
Okay. Okay. All right. We had a number one indie fan. Is that Brian Kelly? I can't tell what's in his avatar. That's so weird looking. Odds we get a triple option offense for the first drive or two of the game. I'd like to try something different, unexpected that goes with our strengths as well.
Yeah, it's called an RPO. Okay. It's a handoff, run, or throw. That's a triple option.
Nope. Under center, double win. Let me see it happen. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Dive back, A-backs. Let's do it.
Yeah. Ryan, just like, see at what point am I going to just get Brian to just lose it on that. What are the topics that I can use to just get Brian to absolutely kirk out right in the middle of the show? He's trying, Vince. Bring
Ricky Dobbs in as an offensive analyst. Let's do it.
Do who?
Ricky Dobbs.
Oh, from Navy.
Navy, like, yeah. Dobbs,
like a movie character? No.
Keenan Reynolds? Is that better?
If you brought Keenan back, I'd dig that one. Well, did Keenan never beat Notre Dame, right? Ricky Dobbs did. Isn't Ricky sure Dobbs?
Did.
No.
Ricky did.
Who was the quarterback, the name of the quarterback in 16 that beat him? Was it Worth?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Will Worth?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. He was a bigger guy, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he bigger than?
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me look at that kid's name because he was pretty decent. Will Worth was the quarterback.
He could actually throw decently, right? Like, he wasn't a bad
thrower. He had that big fourth down throw to remember the what was that kid? They had a real tall receiver on that team, Jameer Tillman. I liked
Jameer Tillman. They always had a tall
receiver. He was really good. And he hit him on, I think it was like a fourth down, and hit it right in front of Dante Vaughn. Like, you guys remember that on that game-winning drive that they had, that long, I should say, game-consuming drive that they had at the end of that game? He could throw it. Yeah, I mean, you look at his numbers, to your point, Ryan, he completed 61.5% of his throws that year.
Yeah, he was a different type of football option quarterback.
Keenan was 53, 47, and 53. Yeah. Will Worth was 61.5. And, you know, and he was a good player. I liked that kid. I thought he was a pretty good player. Yeah, he was good. I liked him. Their defense on that team just wasn't that good. But they had a good offense that year. They really did. James Tellison, Brian, do you think that when Notre Dame negotiates the next TV contract, do you think they will want some kind of creative or production control? They kind of already have that. So I know that Notre Dame is able to say, if something is said during a thing, Vince, I'm pretty sure on this, you would probably know this too. They can say, I don't want that aired. Oh, and they absolutely have. I mean, it was people get mad at NBC for putting the Toledo game on Peacock. That was Notre Dame.
Yeah,
that was Notre Dame that wanted that, not NBC.
Notre Dame wanted a bigger game too, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they did. NBC was like, you know what?
Toledo was the compromise.
Yes, that is correct
for that. Yeah, that's what we've been told. I've been told that by several good sources that Notre Dame was the one that wanted that because Swarbrick is really into the whole streaming thing.
Right.
And he wants to see how that can play out. It was very, very, very interesting. So, yeah, I mean, look, Notre Dame is going to have a lot of it. If they do stay independent, right, they're going to have a lot of say in that kind of thing. I mean, they are. I mean, they're going to have a lot of say in here's what we want, you know, kickoff times and all this kind of, I mean, they're going to negotiate that into the contract.
Of course.
And the reality is
everything's negotiable.
The amount of money someone would have to pay them in a TV deal to kind of lose production control would have to be a lot. I mean, and we've seen that already before. And that's always going to be the hang up with ESPN, right? Is ESPN's not going to allow that to happen. And I think Fox would to a degree. Mark also says that his son just joined Irish Breakdown. So we're very happy to hear that. Ryan, here's a good recruiting.
Go ahead. That'd be Mark 2.
Marked. Ah, well done.
Thank you.
That's what you get in hour three, folks.
That's right. Those are the jokes. That's what we're here for.
Mark one and Mark two.
Yep. Brian, here's a question for you, a recruiting question for you. And I'm going to throw this to you because I know how high you are on both of these players. So Michael Campbell says that Jaden Greathouse is Notre Dame's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Now, let me say this. I want you to look at this not so much from a style of play standpoint because they're very different athletes. One's skinny and taller, and one's big. And I mean, I would say right now Jaden Greathouse is thicker right now than Jaxon Smith-Njigba is right now.
For sure. Yeah.
Production-wise, dominance-wise, could you see Jaden Greathouse being that kind of player? And this is kind of like ultimately what kind of player do you think he could be? If Jaden Greathouse is who you think he is, from a production dominant standpoint, could he be that kind of player for Notre Dame?
I mean, if we're comparing production, I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba just had like 1,600 yards last year, right? Like he was had one of the better seasons that we've seen receiving wise over the last few years. I'd say similar, not quite to that degree. I don't think he's ever going to have the volume that Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
What's a different offense?
Yeah, right? for sure. Yeah, different emphasis, different offense, different scheme, for sure. Yeah. I would say, though, I could see him being a high-volume pass catcher. I could see him being a 1,000-yard receiver. And I could see this one similarity from a stylistic perspective, I guess, is that Jaxon Smith-Njigba spends a lot of time in the slot, and he could do some things outside. I also think that Jaden Greathouse could be a really good slot. I really do. And it'll look a lot different than how Jaxon Smith-Njigba wins, but I think that where he can win, areas of the field can be similar, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Let me see if we got any more down here before we wrap up. There's a lot of questions that we couldn't get to, but, you know, obviously we just get so many good ones nowadays that we just can't get to them all. And we're kind of at that 3-hour mark, and we got stuff to do.
And we have a second show today too.
We do. So. We do. And I'm getting ready to go into that one and make, sorry, I look here real quick. Man, you know what? Like, okay, you're gone. We have Ohio State fans that come in here and they're really cool. Archer's really cool about that, right? Like, I like Archer. Yeah. I hope he stays.
This guy was being needled though, in my
opinion. I don't care. I don't care. It's in Notre Dame chat.
I understand that.
I don't care.
He's being needled by guys. They need to take it down.
He won't be needled anymore because he's out of the chat.
Yeah, I was about ready to kick out the Notre Dame person too.
Then go for it.
Vince is the dad of the group, so
yeah. Everybody just needs to settle down.
Decision maker here.
So, as we always say, everybody hit that like button. So we got to kick one of you out of here. Let's get Ryan out of here so we can show that Ryan. We love you, but we got to bring it up, man. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Share this this video. Hey, you know what? Mace AK finally bringing it. Here we go.
There it is.
Board. Hit that. See, we can bring Brian back now. Ryan back now. I feel bad. He looked all sad and lonely down there out of there. Join the IB message board. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe. Hit the notification bell. Share this podcast. Leave a 5-star review if you are listening via podcast. Visit the IB store for only the best merch. And as always, go Irish. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Rest of your day. Well, have a great 2 hours. We'll see you all back here very, very shortly. on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.